My comments today are entitled, Walking Away from Easter. And I draw that from a passage in Luke that I'll be reading, Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 35. If you have a Bible, feel free to follow along. Otherwise, there's pew Bibles there that you can find it in. I believe the pew Bible page number is 1047. I looked and said I wouldn't forget, but I may have. But it's around there. But Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. These two men had clearly been in Jerusalem. They had been following the Messiah, whether it was for all 3 years or just towards the end, we don't know. But we do know they were there. They witnessed the crucifixion. And they had waited until that third day. They were there to hear the report of the women, and yet almost inexplicably, these two guys walked away from Easter. Emmaus, the city, you can go visit it now, it's just a small village, but it lies almost 7 miles straight west of Jerusalem. You could almost say that these guys were walking into the sunset. I don't know if it was clear day or a cloudy day, but perhaps as they saw the sunset or felt it setting, they felt their own hopes and dreams were crushed and were being set on as well. They had no answer to these extraordinary events. There's almost a regret in their words. They said, "We had hoped. He was going to redeem." They believed at that moment in a past tense. Their hopes and dreams were shattered. Their hopes and dreams were dead and buried. And then Jesus showed up along the way. For some reason, they were kept from recognizing him. I don't exactly know why, but that's the way it was. He then explained to them the purpose of a shattered, dead, and buried Messiah. And as these two men with Jesus approached their ordinary home, Jesus made to go on. this wasn't some sort of trick that he did. It's because it's the way Jesus always has operated. He will not force entrance into your life. He will show up along the way, but he will wait for you to invite him in. Last Sunday, Pastor Kevin mentioned that painting that's up there. It's drawn from the book of Revelation, where Jesus is standing at the door, knocking. In the context of that passage, Jesus is knocking on the door of the church, of the ones who would be his children, and saying, if you invite me in, I will enter. There's been some that have taught, and maybe rightfully so, that what Jesus did inside the house was communion. Not necessarily. One of the more ordinary things that ordinary Jews did in their ordinary homes was to break ordinary bread before their meal. That was something that they did thousands and thousands of times over. Maybe these men remembered and were there at the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe they were there at the Last Supper, or maybe for some reason God chose to lift the veil from their eyes at that moment. I don't know. But what I do know is their eyes were opened, and so too were their hearts. Jesus disappears, and it says these men immediately got up, and then they essentially ran their way back to Jerusalem. There they find the disciples, and they exclaim with them, "It is true." From that moment, these rather ordinary men and women, from that point on, did rather extraordinary things because of Christ, because of his death, burial, and the truth, the fact of his resurrection. Ordinary people did extraordinary things. Jesus did not stay dead and buried. He conquered death, and by it, he enabled us to have victory over sin through repentance and faith in him. I'd like to think that you and I, or at least myself, not so different than these two guys walking away from Easter. It's been a long time since I first said that I believe in God, that I gave my faith, that I repented of my sins. I was just a little kid. Much life has happened between then and now. I have learned quite a bit, and I have struggled quite a bit. What I know for a fact is that each time that I struggled, each time I felt God far from me, each time that I was trudging along my path of life, I felt God was far away. But he wasn't. He was there walking with me, waiting to be invited in. One of the greatest and most dangerous gifts that God gives to us is the freedom to choose. In those moments where I was struggling, I had the freedom to choose to allow Christ to enter in or to allow him to pass me by. Not because I'm great, but because God is, and he gives us that option. The choice was, will I live with my eyes blinded and my heart hardened? Or will I live my life with my eyes wide open and my heart warmed, burning with God's love and grace, with my heart and soul set on fire by him and for him? Living my life in an extraordinary way with my risen Savior as we walk side by side, yet with him leading every step of the way. Jesus already has or will show up along your way. He will not force entrance into your life. He will wait for you to invite him in. Do not choose to turn your back on the risen Savior. Do not choose to walk away from Easter. Exclaim with the disciples and the millions of Christians who have gone before us, "It is true."